The sun streaks were high on the wall by now, and the light was growing soft in the barn. Curly's wife lay on her back, and she was half covered with hay. It was very quiet in the barn, and the quiet of the afternoon was on the ranch. Even the clang of the pitched shoes, even the voices of the men in the game seemed to grow more quiet. The air in the barn was dusky in advance of the outside day. A pigeon flew in through the open hay door and circled and flew out again. Around the last stall came a shepherd bitch, lean and long, with heavy, hanging dugs. Halfway to the packing box where the puppies were, she caught the dead scent of Curly's wife, and the hair rose along her spine. She whimpered and cringed to the packing box and jumped in among the puppies. Curly's wife lay with a half-covering of yellow hay, and the meanness and the plannings and the discontent and the ache for attention were all gone from her face. She was very pretty and simple, and her face was sweet and young. Now her rouged cheeks and her reddened lips made her seem alive and sleeping very lightly. The curls, tiny little sausages, were spread on the hay behind her head, and her lips were parted. As it happens sometimes, a moment settled and hovered and remained for much more than a moment, and sound stopped and movement stopped for much, much more than a moment. Then gradually time awakened again and moved sluggishly on. The horses stamped on the other side of the feeding racks, and the halter chains clinked. Outside, the men's voices became louder and clearer. From around the end of the last stall, old Candy's voice came.
Lenny?
He called.
Oh, Lenny! You in here? I've been figuring some more. Tell you what we can do, Lenny.
Old Candy appeared around the end of the last stall.
Oh, Lenny!
He called again, and then he stopped, and his body stiffened. He rubbed his smooth wrist on his white stubble whiskers.
I didn't know you was here,
he said to Curly's wife. When she didn't answer, he stepped nearer.
You oughtn't to sleep out here,
he said disapprovingly. And then he was beside her and...
Oh, Jesus Christ.
And he looked about helplessly, and he rubbed his beard. And then he jumped up and went quickly out of the barn. But the barn was alive now. The horses stamped and snorted, and they chewed the straw of their bedding, and they clashed the chains of their halters. In a moment, Candy came back, and George was with him. George said, What was it you wanted to see me about? Candy pointed at Curly's wife. George stared. What's the matter with her? He asked. He stepped closer, and then he echoed Candy's words.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
And he was down on his knees beside her. He put his hand over her heart. And finally, when he stood up slowly and stiffly, his face was as hard and tight as wood, and his eyes were hard. Candy said,
What done it?
George looked coldly at him. Ain't you got any idea? He asked. And Candy was silent. I should have knew, George said hopelessly. I guess maybe way back in my head I did. Candy asked,
What we gonna do now, George? What we gonna do now?
George was a long time in answering. Guess we gotta tell the guys. I guess we gotta get him and lock him up. We can't let him get away while the poor bastards starve. And he tried to reassure himself. Maybe they'll lock him up and be nice to him. But Candy said excitedly,
We ought to let him get away. You don't know that, Curly. Curly's going to want to get him lynched. Curly will get him killed.
George watched Candy's lips. Yeah, he said at last. That's right, Curly will. And the other guys will. And he looked back at Curly's wife. Now Candy spoke his greatest fear.
You and me can get that little place, can't we, George? you and me can go there and live nice, can't we, George? Can't we?
Before George answered, Candy dropped his head and looked down at the hay. He knew. George said softly, I think I knowed it from the very first. I think I knowed we'd never do her. You used to like to hear about it so much, I got to thinking maybe we would.
Then, it's all off?
Candy asked sulkily. George didn't answer his question. George said, I'll work my month. I'll take my $50 and I'll stay all night in some lousy cat house. Or I'll sit in a pool room till everybody goes home. Then I'll come back and work another month. I'll have another $50 more. Candy said,
He's such a nice fella. I didn't think he'd do nothing like this.
George still stared at Curly's wife. Lenny never done it in meanness, he said. All the time he done bad things. But he never done one of them mean. He straightened up and looked back at Candy. Now listen. We gotta tell the guys. They got to bring him in, I guess. They ain't no way out. Maybe they won't hurt him, he said sharply. I ain't gonna let him hurt Lenny. Now you listen. The guys might think I was in on it. I'm gonna go in the bunkhouse, then in a minute you come out and tell the guys about her. I'll come along and make like I never seen her. Will you do that? So the guys won't think I was in on it? Candy said,
Sure, George. Sure, I'll do that.
Okay. Give me a couple minutes, then you come running out and tell like you just found her. I'm going now. George turned and went quickly out of the barn. Old Candy watched him go. He looked helplessly back at Curly's wife, and gradually his sorrow and his anger grew into words.